Hello, this is Gary Carpenter. We had a recording malfunction during the Sunday night message. We were able to retrieve it, and with a lot of technical work on it, we've got it to where you can listen to it, but the quality is far below our normal standards. I don't think I can do anything more with this particular message, so we're presenting it because the content is important. I trust that in the future, I will be able to redo this message at a better quality. So I apologize, but I pray it will be a blessing to your life. Thank you.
Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start there. I'm going in where angels fear to tread tonight. Normally people teach communion, and that's very safe, you know, to teach, because I never heard it taught correctly until I came to the prayer center and heard Pastor Dave teach on it, that really what it's about is not that there's healing in communion, although you could teach that. It's not totally wrong to teach that. But really what communion is about, the stripes that Jesus took on his back was to heal the controversies between men. You know how Dave always goes back to Deuteronomy and shows how if there's a strife between two men and bring them before the righteous judge, that's what happened with Jesus. He was brought before the righteous judge, and whichever one was wrong, then he was to receive the stripes, you know, and to bring an end to the controversy. Well, Jesus, he took the stripes for all of our controversies. And that's really what 1 Corinthians 11 is talking about. And like Dave said today, you could back up into the previous chapters even, and like 1 Corinthians 10:17, and really he could back up before here. And there's a lot in this chapter about divisions, but like, just so you get a flavor of it, maybe it'll make you want to ask the Holy Spirit to help you back up and find out where this begins. It's several chapters before here. But 1 Corinthians 10:17, for we being many are what kind of bread? We're one bread, really, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So what Paul is saying here, now let's go over to where we normally start. In 1 Corinthians 11, he hasn't really changed the subject. So in verse 18 is where Dave normally starts. It says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions. And the margin says schism. One translation said cliques. That'd be okay too. Divisions amongst you. And I partly believe it. I have to laugh like Dave does. You got to understand, there was not a different flavor of Christian church on every corner then, like there is now. There was one church. We're going to look at a verse tonight where Paul says, if any man calls himself a brother, and he's involved in certain sins, don't even have lunch with the guy. Well, Dave has already told me, he says, look, that worked then. It won't really work now if you're trying to restore that brother. You know why? He'll just go to the church down the street. Because there's too many. I mean, you can even find a church now, right here in Tulsa, more than one, that'll say you can be an active homosexual, and you're still okay. So then, if you withheld fellowship, it was really withholding fellowship. And it's not that you were hating them or didn't love them. You're trying to rescue them. But that was one way that you could really put pressure on them to change. You said, no, you're wrong. You're really wrong. Well, anyway, the purpose of communion that Paul was teaching was that we don't forget that Jesus is the bread. He was broken like we do at communion. And when we take communion, the job is to search our heart and to see if there's anything in us in the way of unforgiveness, strife, anything like that, and to remember that his body was broken for us, and let's get about the business of forgiving each other, and so that we can walk free of strife and free of unforgiveness. Same thing. Now, the blood, to me, also, to me, that really represents, that's the sacrifice for our sins against God. The bread is almost like our divisions with one another. His blood was really for our separation from God. Because he is the lamb. He is the ultimate sacrifice that paid the price for all of our sins collectively so that we could have access to God. That preaches real nice, and we always do it, and you should do it. And then the Holy Spirit gives me a message tonight titled, out of the same chapter, or the same book, Not All Divisions Can Be Avoided. Not all divisions can be avoided. And it doesn't mean that you're violating anything in this passage. Now, the same writer that wrote Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he also wrote 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was going to read these two verses before you left this. 1 Corinthians 11:18. I read one of them, but I didn't do the other one. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Well, you can open the yellow pages today under Christian church. Trust me, Paul, you can believe it. There are divisions everywhere. But verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you. So why is there a division? For there's truth and there's not truth. He doesn't mince words. He's not saying, well, they have their version of the truth. He says, no, they're preaching heresy. That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Okay? Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Real familiar passage that everybody knows. But we're going to read a little further. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 15. This is the one everybody knows. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if words mean anything, it means it's possible to wrongly divide the word of truth. One of the ways you can do that, there's a lot of ways to do it. One of the primary ways is to start lifting verses out of context and start stringing together a message that eventually makes the Word of God come out to say something that God never said at all. Luke 6:38 in our generation is one of the primary violations of that, of, you know, where they use that method. They lift it out like it's has something to do with an offering. Give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom with the same measure you need, it shall be measured to you with all. And they use that as at offering time. And those of you that's been around here a while and heard Dave teach on it, he was the first one I ever heard teach that one correctly, too. I tell you, I about fell out of the truck the day I heard that tape. I remember where I was. I had been programmed. I thought I knew what Luke 6:38 was about. I'd been doing it for years. That's one of the particular tapes that I heard out on the... I wanted to pull over and shout at everybody went by. They're lying on TV. They're lying. They're all liars, all of them. You know, those guys on TV that would preach that, because it's got nothing to do with the church offering, and it never will. They are wrongly dividing the word of truth and making merchandise of the sheep by doing it. So there is a right way. And that's to leave it. That's one of the principles is learn to meditate the Word of God in whole images. You can't fragment the image and the seed without destroying the harvest. You can't divide up the image. Anyway, Dave has a lot of good teaching on it. And now let's go past this one verse that everybody quotes all the time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But now notice this. But shun is a good word. Stay away from, don't mess with it at all. Shun means at all. Don't mess with it. Profane and vain babblings. Do you understand that what Paul is describing is somebody else's revelation? He's going to show you here in a minute. He's going to tell you right here in a minute. Somebody else's great revelation that they saddle you with in the parking lot. Paul says, you've got to be careful and rightly divide the word of truth and shun vain, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodly. The end result of that kind of thing normally will result in just exactly what he said. No matter what the teaching is, the end result normally will lead to ungodliness. It will lead to more unholy living. Okay? Their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is, now notice, at times, if it's bad enough, if it's bad enough, you can name names. If there's enough damage being done to the sheep, you can name names, and you have to name names. Of whom is, I hope I say this anyways near right, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, now this is the revelation. Whether they did it sincerely or not, we're not told. But this is what they were preaching. This is the revelation. They had a group that they, a sect, a clique, a division, a group, somebody who was listening to them, and they're teaching this doctrine, and it's false doctrine, saying that the resurrection is past already. And by teaching that, they overthrow the faith of some. Now, if the end result is more ungodliness, if the judgment has already happened, Paul said in one place, if there is no resurrection, why don't we just eat and drink and live and be merry, because we're going to die in our sins anyway. And that's the end result of their doctrine, too. It doesn't really matter. It's already passed. Now, does it sound to you like if Paul, we know he didn't, but if Paul, this is the last letter Paul ever wrote, he never came back to Ephesus again, but if he was to come back to Ephesus, I'm assuming that's where these guys are, do you think he would come in and they'd have communion together and everything would be nicey-nicey between Paul and Hymenaeus and Philetus? You think there might be repent? You're going to see what he does to one of them here in a minute. You better repent. You're preaching heresy. It would not have been, well, you have your opinion. You know? No, you're preaching error. You're preaching false doctrine. What you're saying is a lie, and it's going to lead sheep astray. You're doing so much damage to the sheep now, I have to name your name. I have to tell publicly. Because, now, do you think they got along real well? What do you think? Do you think they got along real well? Do you think Paul was walking out of love, though? See, that's the point that the Lord's trying to get across tonight. Not all division can be avoided on your part. We're going to come to it eventually. Now, I'll preview. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth within you. Well, Paul would love it if Hymenaeus and Philetus would repent. And as much as impossible with him, he'd be, no doubt, if they come and said, well, tell us how we're wrong. We don't know how we're wrong. But that's the way we understood it. And if they'd sit there and they'd listen and repent and genuinely repent, man, it'd be great. We'd have a big, yeah, okay, we're all back together. We're on the same page again, and here we go. But see, I don't know how. I love all my Baptist relatives. They still call me a relative. No, really, they treat me real nice. They really do. But they just think I'm dead wrong. They just totally think I'm dead wrong about this Holy Ghost stuff. They know that there is no baptism in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, anybody who speaks in tongues is doing it by the power of the devil. They absolutely think I am wrong. Okay? But yet, when we get together for family reunions, they're nice to me. I'm nice to them. I wasn't that way in the beginning. I had more zeal than I had wisdom. And I was trying to get them all baptized in the Holy Ghost every time I went. Trust me, you can't feed people that aren't hungry. You can't force feed anybody, okay? All right? And we get along fine on that level. But see, right on the same, and we could go witnessing together. You know, we could, I'll walk with them, knock doors. Baptists, you know, they knock doors. Glory to God. There's nothing more dangerous on earth than a spirit-filled Baptist. Because they're not afraid to work the town. They'll go to work, you know, and they'll pass out tracts and knock on doors, witness to everything that breathes. And we could do that together and preach Christ and Him crucified. But then if we're going to nurture the sheep, we've got a real problem. We can't walk together there. Because if I had the first session of teaching, and I'm going to come in saying, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And they're going to come in right behind me and say, no, He didn't. He saves, we're not sure if He heals, and we know for sure He does not baptize in the Holy Ghost. Now, I can't walk together with them. That doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean they really don't love me. There really is no strife between us. But that division, as long as we hold to those two doctrines. You can't reconcile those two things. How am I going to go in and teach them praying? You need to pray in tongues for hours a day, and they come in right behind me and say, there's no such thing as praying in other tongues. And if you're doing it, you're doing it by the power of the devil. You see how that division, through heresy, it is a heresy, not mine, theirs. It's heresy. Well, we can't walk together that way. We walk in peace, as far as possible in me, we walk in peace as much as we can. But we can't really walk together very far when it comes to, other than beyond salvation, we can't walk much beyond it on anything. All right? Now let's go to another. Go to 1 Timothy. Oh, wait a minute. 2 Timothy, we didn't finish. It says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, this is an interesting statement to make in that context. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. What's he implying? He's not sure that they're even saved. So he's not the judge. He says, I'll tell you this, though, the Lord knows. And he will say this. See, the end result of their doctrine, he said earlier, the end result of it would result in more ungodliness. He says, now I'm telling you this. You can, whether or not you agree with me or them, you can trust this. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now the end result of their doctrine was, would increase unto more ungodliness. Okay? And he's saying, don't you fall for any doctrine like that. God is, he's in the business of making us more and more godly, transforming us to the image of Christ. And any doctrine that comes against that is not of God. All right, now go to 1 Timothy. So probably, though, Paul and Hymenaeus, really, I'm sure they got along pretty good. Because, you know, 1 Corinthians 11, there should not be any divisions. And so when Paul took the communion, I'm sure he said, well, Father, I know that Hymenaeus is out here preaching false doctrine. It's taken some people to hell, but I don't want there to be any divisions among us. So it's just okay, and I'll keep my mouth shut. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Here we go again. This Hymenaeus guy was apparently infecting, I guess that's okay. And in the earlier one, it was Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now he's got another disciple here, Hymenaeus and Alexander. But I'm getting along with them okay, and I'm sure we're all doing fine, and there's really no division between us. Or does your Bible say, whom I have delivered unto Satan? What? What? And what's the purpose? They may learn not to blaspheme. I'm telling you, some division cannot be avoided. As long as people are going to hold to certain heresies, you can walk with them so far, and we're not talking about getting into a bitter relationship. We're not talking about an unforgiving type. We're not talking about a prideful relationship. But we're talking about truth. More than once, since I've been here in 18 years, sometimes more than once, I had to go to certain persons and say, if you don't change what you're teaching, we're going to have to tell the people the damage you're doing to the sheep. Now stop it or leave the church. And that always is a real pleasant day. I'm not saying Dave has never had to do that either. That's not something you like to do at all. And you... I'm not going to mention any names, and maybe some of you here think I'm talking to you. I'm not. I'm talking about things in the past that have already happened. There was one man that really had so much potential. I never saw anybody with such a strong zeal and a strong mind as this one individual that was here years ago. But he was going down a certain path that was destroying the sheep. and he was getting more and more of a division here. It was affecting marriages. I don't want to tell anything that tells too much, but two situations that I know of for sure because of that doctrine resulted in divorces. Okay, and there's probably a lot more that I don't know about. And the Lord sent him here for the express purpose of rescuing him, because he had a vast potential. He had a lot of good gifts. He loved God, a dedicated guy in the sense of, man, he would, tenacious, this guy. But he was just off. He was off a few degrees, and he would not receive correction. And boy, I'll tell you right now, God's long suffering was a lot longer than mine. God, I hate to even tell you this. He's not going to let me not. It got so bad, he come against me and my family so hard that when you said in the services, and I wasn't teaching or anything at the time, okay? But I knew, because I knew what he was saying in these clicks. Words would get back to me. So finally, now this was early on. Everyone say this was a long time ago in a Gary far, far away. I said, look, let's meet for lunch. And I met him at lunch, and I said, let's just settle this today. Now, I don't know what it is exactly you've got against me, but the parking lot's empty. Let's last man be the winner. But we're not going to continue the way it is. You're doing too much damage to my family. That was not a real pleasant day. Okay? He's a lot younger than me. Probably would have whipped me the first time. But I'm one of those that have no quitting sense. Okay, my daddy taught me, that the last man standing is the winner. You may have to get up 12 times, but it's the last man standing is the winner. Now, that's not the best way to handle it, what I'm saying. Now, that was my limit. God's limit was way, he stayed for a long time after that. The reason why, God was still extending time to repent. Even in Revelation, where it talks about the Jezebel, and God says, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. God was doing exactly that with this guy, giving him every opportunity. He was at the right place, at the right church, people that would really love him, if he would just receive correction, but he would not. And eventually, God told Dave sitting right there, he knows I'm not telling anything out of school, God told Dave, no more, he won't preach you anymore. You turn around, and Dave was driving home, says, turn around right now and call him in. Told him that, well, you can imagine how that went over. And he left here preaching against the message, against Dave, against everything here. And he was only in his 40s. And he went all around the country preaching against everything. And within a few years, he was in an automobile accident, killed instantly, and already gone to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind he went to heaven. He never destroyed the foundation. It was Christ and him crucified. You got that? Christ, and he loved the foundation. But there was a lot of wood, hay, and stubble built on top of that got burned up when he got to heaven, but I know he made it. That was not God's best. But sometimes, what I'm saying again, not all divisions can be avoided. And when the Lord says that, I gave them space to repent. Now, when the Lord, you can't do it. But when the Lord says, David just on his way home, and the Lord said, that's it. This is it. He'll never preach here again. Turn the car right around right there. See? So when the Lord brings that to an end, then there's a division there that can't be healed unless that, as far as it's possible within you. See? So unless that person repents, that division cannot be healed. I told the Lord, why do I get all the shouting messages? I don't know why I get all the shouting messages. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, 10, and 11. Now, this is the one I told you. This strategy today doesn't work as well as it did in Paul's day, because in Paul's day, there was only one church in town. So if they quit fellowshipping with you, you didn't have anywhere else to go. Okay? Nowadays, you'll just find a church that agrees with you. Jesus is alive and well, He has strategies for every generation. He'll tell you how to deal with these people. But still, the principle is here. The principle is here, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 9. It says, I wrote unto you in a letter, in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, that's what the sinners are. The whole world is full of these people, and these are the very people that we're supposed to mingle with, like Jesus would go out amongst the sinners, and that, of course, the religious people got mad at him. Well, look at him. He eats and drinks with sinners, and Jesus is going, this is why I came. These sinners are what the Father sent me here to seek and to save that which is lost. This is why I came. He says, I told you not to company, not to company. But not with the fornicators and covetous of the world. In other words, where else are we going to get people saved? We're supposed to be out. Supposed to be out on your job and wherever you work and whatever you do. That's the whole idea. Be light in a dark place. But now notice verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, that just greedy, or an idolater, or a railer. You look that up, that's somebody that's hot, quick-tempered, and cuss a lot. A rail on you, okay? Or a drunkard, or an extortioner. That's a hard word for a Christian anyway, extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. Well, how would we see in that day then, that worked really well. Because if they were shunned by the church, there was no place else to go. And if they loved Jesus at all, and if they were really born again, then that would convict them. And they're going, man, I can't continue in this direction. I'm going to have to get, honey, no more nights. No more fornicating. I got to get back to the church or what covetous or whatever it was. See, and they'd repent. Nowadays, that won't really work. They'll just go down to the next church that tells them they're okay. So how do you do it nowadays? Well, you got to be honest with people. When Sue and I, the first years, he didn't mention smoker in here, but he could have. I guess you could call that was my idol. Maybe I would fit under idol. Okay. So for years we were here. And still smoking. And thank God Dave didn't run us off. You know, a lot of churches would have. A lot of churches would have, you know. But I'm firmly convinced what Dave says is true. God will walk through hell with you, with your faults, as long as you're not justifying, saying it's okay when it's not okay, and as long as you continue to do the things that will one day spell out your freedom. I mean, if Dave would have given up on me, I'd already did everything I needed to do in the spirit and in the natural. I was praying. I was doing the message, all that I knew how. I was doing everything in the natural. I've told you about the gum and the patches and everything that came down the road. Had every crusade that came through town, I'd get in the line, you know, deliverance line. Well, I'm Maryland. Hickey just stomped on my cigarettes. Kenneth Hagin stomped on my cigarettes. Norville Hayes has stomped on them. On and on and on. All you got to do is, all that means is you got to buy more on the way home. You know. But I couldn't get free, but I never said it was okay. I never said, well, it just doesn't matter. No, I knew it wasn't okay. The addiction part is the part, really, that's not okay. All right? It's the addiction part. I don't care. A glass of wine isn't going to send you to hell either, but don't get addicted. The Bible says don't be drunk on wine. Don't be drunk on it. See, it's the addiction part. That's where you cross the line. Where it becomes an idol to you. You have to have it. But thank God that I was loved here, even though it was never like, you're okay. You know what I'm saying? We love you, but that's not okay, Gary. Now, they didn't preach it at me all the time. I already knew it wasn't okay. I was trying to come against it, is the thing. So how you got to be more, you got to walk in God's wisdom in our generation with this. But on the other hand, I've seen Dave do this one. When we had a predator here once who smelled right, talked right, acted right, sounded, looked like a sheep, walked like a sheep, talked like a sheep, he was a wolf. And one by one, he was bedding every single woman he could. Dave found out about it, and from the pulpit, he says, you have 1 week to repent. If I hear about one more case, one more, from the pulpit, I'm going to tell your name. Now you stop it. And see, that's what a good shepherd does to protect his flock, isn't it? If a wolf is in amongst the flock, something has to be done. Yes, God loves that guy. Yes, God loves the women that are being violated. Okay? You got to love them both. Let me go on a little more here. Let me ask this question. If Paul would have come to town, do you think he'd have had close fellowship with Hymenaeus, Philetus, or Alexander? Here in 1 Corinthians, how about that believer, quote, quote, who had his father's wife? Hope to God that was his stepmother. Hope that was his stepmother, not his mother. But it says he was committing fornication with his father's wife. You think Paul would, oh, that's okay. What do you think? And was Paul walking out of love? No, he was not walking out of love. Okay? Go ahead and go to Luke 15. I'll go there with you. I've never taught this exactly before. I think the reason that he's letting it happen right now, we really are coming into revival. We're going to have to walk in a little more maturity than we've walked in the past. Hey, I love every wolf that's coming. I love every one of them that's coming. I hope a lot of them are coming. Right on the same time, they're not going to devour the sheep here. You see what I'm saying? We're going to be man enough and walking in love enough to speak the truth in love. And you're going to stop it, or we're going to expose you. Okay? Now, so Luke 15, this is the one about there's several here we could do, but it's the prodigal son. You've heard this story since the time you were in Sunday school, the prodigal son, how God loved both of his sons. God, the man in the story, which is a type of God, he loved both of his sons, did he not? Okay, let's just read it, Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. What all was included? Probably everything in that list we read while ago. Probably fornication and covetousness and idolatry. Reveling and riotous living. It's pretty self-explanatory. And when he had spent all, he went through his whole fortune, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. Now, this is obviously a Jewish young man here. Is there any job on earth lower to a Jew than flopping the hog? But he was so hungry, he says, he would fain have filled his belly with the same husk that the swine did eat. And here's the most important, this is the line that I was coming to. This is tough love, Rabbi. And no man gave unto him. If you write in your margin of your Bible, you ought to write out in the margin there, thank God. I'm telling you right now, some people, if you're a parent at all, some people have to hit bottom. Some people have to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times before finally they'll go, maybe the path I'm on is not the correct path. And only then did it say, notice it says, when he came to himself. He would never have come to himself if somebody there had been an enabler in love. One time the Lord told me, he said it to me this way, and it's proven true over all these years. He said, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for my compassion. Did you get that? So, parent loves his son, his daughter. They get out there, they start, they get on drugs, they start riotous living in whatever form. Now, you could pick whatever form. Riotous living. And let's say they get hooked on something. Listen, it's not easy on parents to see their children suffer in any way. And, man, they get on drugs, they're really on drugs, they get skinny, they look bad, their health gets bad. And when you see them, sometimes you don't see them for a long time. And only time you get to see them is when they want money. And you want them to come back again, so the tendency is to give them some. And I'm not saying you wouldn't feed them. I'd give them a sandwich. But in this case, it was God's plan. Do you think God could have spoken to somebody to take food over to that boy if it was his will? Sure he could have. Why didn't he do it? Sometimes you got to hit bottom. Sometimes you got to hit bottom and bounce a couple of times. Finally, you're in a place of, I'm beginning to think my path is not the right path. So be careful you don't become an enabler in the name of Christian love. You got to really listen to God. You got to listen. Now, right on the other hand, Dave was the only one I ever heard say this. He said, one time a panhandler somewhere come up, and it was obvious this guy is either an alcoholic or a drug addict on Skid Row and wanting $5, you know. And you know what he's going to do with it. I mean, you just look at the guy, you know he's not going to, he tells you he's going to go buy a sandwich, but you know he's not going to do that. And so, you know, the typical reaction is, well, I'm not going to give him anything. And the Lord spoke to him and says, now, you don't know this guy at all. Maybe this guy was a Vietnam veteran. He saw friends, and I don't mean to be insensitive to anybody who's in the war, but I'm just repeating the story. Maybe he's seen friends, you know. My dad tells the story of one of his best friends. They were in the trenches in World War II in Germany. He says, I was talking with him, and we heard the sound, you know, the sound of a shell coming in. Boy, we ducked down. And I rose up to say, I can't remember the guy's name now, he said, I rose up to say to my friend like Jerry or whatever his name was, I was going to tell Jerry that was close. Jerry had no head. He was gone. Now when you've lived through trauma, terror, it could be other things, I mean, I'm just using war as one, but terrible, that there's a season where maybe the only way you can keep from blowing your own brains out, you know, maybe that alcohol or that whatever it is at that moment. And God might say, can you help keep this guy alive? I see in the future he's going to get saved about 6 months from now. Can you help keep this guy alive? Can you spare $5? See, that's why there is no law. You can't do this walking by law. You've got to do this being led by the Holy Ghost. My default position, if you drive trucks at all and you go from truck stop, there's two things you're going to run into every time. One of them is lot lizards. That's prostitutes that work the lot. Every truck stop, I've never been to one where they're not. And the other one is beggars. And they're always hanging around the truck stops asking for $5, $10, or whatever. After I heard that story here at this church, my default position before that was no. I need $5. And they always give you some big long story. Lost my wallet, need a bus ticket, something. Well, my default position was no until I heard that story. I said, Lord, from this point on, my default position is yes. I've got the money, I'm going to give it to him unless you tell me. My default position changed 100%. Now, right on the other hand, if you have knowledge of a child or someone, you know, you're going to have to, sometimes tough love is required. This story of the prodigal son is not in your Bible for no reason. There's times when the Lord will say no. Romans 12:18, let's finish here. Father, I just want to thank you for giving me all the shouting messages, Lord. I'll finish it with this one. There is a lady in town, a lady preacher, who I have a lot of respect for. I owe her the way I feel about it, because when all of our daughters were in rebellion at the same time, they spent years out there just bars and clubs and doing all this stuff that they knew better. And of course, we were standing and making confession and for them and everything. But this lady has a little street-type church, and at the time, it was over on Admiral. Now it's on 11th. And somehow, I don't remember which one was the first one, one of them just happened to go in there one day, a little old street church somewhere, and wound up getting rededicated back to God and off of the booze and out of the bars, and she started talking to her sisters, before it was over, all three, that lady preacher was responsible for getting all three of our daughters rescued. When I say off the streets, I don't mean they were in prostitution. What I mean is out of the bars and out of that lifestyle and getting them rededicated back to God and speaking in tongues again and all that. Well, I really appreciated that. Wouldn't you appreciate that? So I started going over there, and as soon as she found out I was a part of Dave Robeson Ministry, she did not like me from that point on. She says, well, I know him, and she didn't, but she says, I know him, and he's one of those prosperity preachers, and you must be too, and I have no use for you. And I said, I'm the opposite. I'm not that way. I'm not teaching that hundredfold stuff. But she wouldn't have, she just classified me, and she just wouldn't hear nothing else from that point on. Well, I kept going. I wanted to, you know, for a little while, just once in a while, we'd drop in. We were coming here mostly, but we'd drop in over there, you know, and every time I did, I mean, the way I try and describe it now, have you ever tried and pet a dog? And every time you reach out to pet it, it bites you? That's the way this lady was. And I'd give money. Everything I could think of, as far as is possible within me, I'm doing everything that I can. And plus, I'll be honest with you, in those days, I had a stronghold that I don't have anymore. I don't have it anymore. In those days, you had to like me. I couldn't sleep at night if there was somebody that didn't like me. Trust me, I'm free. But I wasn't free then, and just especially a preacher, you know. And I every time I try, and she would change her whole message. As soon as she saw me coming in the door, she'd say, turn to such and such, and the whole message would change, you know. Finally, I'm praying to the Lord about this, and it was this verse, Romans 12:18, that he used to get me through. And it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I was going, Lord, I have done everything in the world that I know to do. I've been nice. I've given money. I've tried to tell her I'm not like that. And he says, how did he say that again? He says, now, he says, can you, first thing he said to me, can you love her enough to let her not like you? And I went, why? I've never heard anything like that. He says, can you love her enough to let her not like you? I'm going, well, I never even thought of that before. If you say it's a good idea, I guess I can. And I said, but Lord, I want, you know, bringing up all the scriptures about fellowship and communion and all of that. He says, son, he brought up this verse. He says, have you done everything as far as, is there anything in your heart that you haven't tried to do to live in peace with that woman? I said, Father, I can't think of a thing. I can't think of anything. As far as what lies in you, you've done everything. I said, yes. He says, can you just love her from afar? Your presence does not bless her. And that's what I did, and we've been fine ever since. And it took, at that time, it still bothered me though, because I had that stronghold, and it took him a while. I didn't even know I was like that, and it took him a while to get that out of me. Trust me, I'm free. I can sleep just fine. A lot of people don't like me. That's okay. It's all right. So getting back to communion. Wasn't that beautiful today how the Lord hooked up holiness? Message on holiness. You're not going to have holiness if you're walking in strife and unforgiveness, you know, towards other people. Just forget it. You're not going to do it. God is love. And the more we press into His love, the more we're also going to press into His holiness. And when I finally saw that chastising, that tutoring in Hebrews 12, is really so that we can be partakers of His holiness. Man, the more we partake of Him, there's no way you're going to partake of more of His true holiness without partaking more of His love, because it's a character of His. So, 100 years ago, now there was a lot of holiness people that were pretty mean. Have y'all ever known any of them? Hair up in a bun, no makeup. Mean boy, tongue talking, mean, you know, that's not the kind He's after. That's not what the Bible calls true holiness. True holiness comes from the inside out. It comes from the new nature. Jesus, you want to see true holiness? Look at Jesus, who ate and drank with sinners, but who loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And that's really the same thing that's on the inside of us. That same nature is the one He put in us. Now, we can develop that and bring it to harvest. But even as that happens,
Did everybody like Jesus? Did he walk in love, though? Love sometimes says, you whitewashed tombstone, you breed of vipers. Unless you believe I am he, you will die in your sins. What was he doing? Boy, you talk about speaking the truth in love, man. If they didn't repent and believe he's the Messiah, they're going to wind up in hell. He's warning them. Sometimes, division cannot be avoided. And you're still walking in love. You get anything out of that? Hallelujah.